Welcome, beloved, to join us today to our radio broadcast. We've been studying the theme, Life Lessons for Loved Ones. And our last session together, I hope you were able to listen to it and profit by it. We spoke about the timelessness of truth. And surely, beloved, if there's ever a time when truth needs to be taught and received and practiced, surely it is today, because we see so much untruth from the federal level all the way down to the local level. So we hope you were helped there. And we're going to proceed on this week speaking about the preciousness of principles. And surely everyone would be welcome to hear more knowledge about principles today, because our principles and values are the lowest that I believe I've ever seen in my lifetime. So this is what we'll be studying today.
Oh, yes. And it's a message directed to parents. If you missed it, definitely directed to parents. But it applies to everyone, because I can see it all over the place. There is no fear of God. People just don't fear God. They wouldn't do the things. They wouldn't watch the things. They wouldn't listen to the things. They wouldn't act the ways they do if they feared God. I mean, the Bible seems pretty black and white, cut and clear. Either you're with me or you're against me. And if you don't fear God, I'm afraid you're in that boat of against him. Wouldn't that be right?
I think you're right. And I know that if we all would realize and practice godly principles, we'd see our society a very different society than what we see it today.
Now, if you happen to miss last week, part one of this message, go to our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. You can listen to it there, or you can even watch it in its entirety on the website as well. Of course, you can join us tomorrow at our church at 2628 Shady Lane Avenue in Concord, North Carolina. You can get directions on our website or watch us live stream on Facebook at 10:45 a.m. Sharon Baptist Concord. Well, here's Pastor James Strickland with part two.
It's just as true today as it was in the beginning. It's going to be true in the ending. Jesus said, in fact, did he not? I'm the truth. Teach them about Jesus. So you see, life lessons to loving children would be involved, first of all, in teaching them the timelessness of truth. But there's a second thing I see here. We need to teach our children the preciousness of principles. Go back to that chapter 1, verses 10 through 19 here, and you see this. I would have to say, I could think we probably would agree 100%. What parent would there not be who'd want their children to have the greatest lessons about life that you could give them before they leave the home? You'd want to give that, wouldn't you? You'd want your children to have the best lessons that could be had, because when they go out into the world, you don't want them to be flavored by the very sins of the people of the world, do you? Amen. I don't. I didn't. We tried to teach our children before they ever got out into the world about these things. Here we're going to get some wisdom in this chapter 1 about the preciousness of principles. Listen, principles in our nation have really long since been thrown aside. But they haven't been thrown aside by God. They're precious. Here's what the writer says to the son here in chapter 1 of Proverbs, verses 10 through 14. You see, the days of Proverbs are very similar to the days of today, are they not? Friends lead friends in the direction that the friends are going. Friends, unsaved friends, evil friends, will lead a child into an evil trap in their life. So the first thing this writer says is a child must notice the preciousness of these principles. Number one, avoid the attitude of sinful friends. Look at verse 10 there. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us and let us all have one purse. We're talking about the attitude of sinful friends. They say, the friends, cast in your lot with us. Beloved, most of us who are older adults never knew the peer pressure. that our children face today. It's astronomical, the peer pressure that's upon our youth and children of today. Peer pressure is great. That's why when peer pressure applies its evil hold on a child, you see the child in teenage suicide raise 300% in 10 years. That's why it happens. Peer pressure is great. They say, let's be together. Let's just be one. No young person wants to be one. No young person wants to be left out. No young person wants to be rejected by his or her peers, do they? We don't like that as adults, do we? Let us be one together, they say, these sinful friends. Listen, a wise parent will tell that child, train that child, you've got to reject the attitude of sinful friends in your life. Oh, they're promising us substance. Look at verse 13 again. Parent says, listen, don't you listen to them. Don't you join in with them. Don't you take part in what they're doing. A wise parent knows more than a child. When a child begins to grasp that truth and see the preciousness of these principles in his own life, he will say no, she will say no to the attitude of sinful friends. The more likely a child or a youth follows the attitude of sinful friends, listen to me, the more likely they're going to end up doing something wrong. They're going to end up in juvie somewhere. Or when they get a little older, they end up in jail somewhere. Well, the writer says you got to understand the preciousness of having some principles about you in your life. A wise child knows this. Do you know that? Do I know that? I hope I do. I think I do. But they say the preciousness of this great principle is that you must avoid the attitude of sinful friends. But secondly, notice this. You've got to avert the avenue of these same sinful friends. Look at verses 15 through 19. You see it there. My son, walk not thou in the way of them with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. If you listen long enough to the attitude of sinful friends, you're going to find yourself going in the same avenue that those sinful friends are going to go. Listen long enough to wrong things, and you're going to go the wrong way. So will our children. That applies to all of us, doesn't it? You see the paths here in these verses that I read, the purposes of these evil friends, the pursuits of these evil friends. That's far from what God wants for our children. That's far from what God wants for us, isn't it? That's far from what we want for our children too, isn't it? Just as true. Many, many parents have come brokenhearted talking about their children to me. Preacher, what am I going to do? Many times I have to say, you let your children walk with evil people doing the wrong things and then they end up doing the wrong things. What would you expect? It's sort of like the saying today, you can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over wrongly and expect to get good results. You got to avoid and be aware and avert the avenue of these sinful people. Well, it happens with our children. It happens with our teenagers. And let the adults off either. It pursues itself right on into bad decisions in business, bad decisions in friendships with adults, and bad decisions in marriage. It just runs the whole gamut of human life, doesn't it? It really does. Psalm 1 would really help us a lot here. If we just go back sometime and just dwell on Psalm 1. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who standeth in the way of sinners, who sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his light doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 1 will help us. Well, listen. Now I'm talking to parents mainly about the timelessness of truth, about the preciousness of principles that we must live and teach before our children. But there's a third truth I want to share. It's about the very maintenance of morality in their life. In chapter 7, I'm not going to read all these lengthy verses, but just look at them. Turn over to chapter 7 of Proverbs. I'll refer to them along the way. Chapter 7, verse 5 through 27. These teachings here about morality follows along the commandment that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. How this needs to be taught to our children today. How our youth need to understand this today so desperately. So what are they saying about the maintenance of your morality? First of all, it says this. Be aware of the seduction of sin. Parents' advice to a child should be, keep yourself away from the strange woman. Now, this could go two ways just as well, ladies, young women. Keep yourselves away from lustful men, young men. Ones who are bent on immoral conduct. So much of that abounds today. And look in verse 19 and 20 in that chapter 7. And you'll see that he's talking about that lady who roams the streets. She's dressed in provocative attire. She's dressed like a harlot because she is a harlot. No one misses her purpose. No one misses what she's about. It says she seeks out the unsuspecting young man. She's very aggressive in her conduct. Here the young man needs really protecting. And I have to say that goes both ways, young men and women. They both need protection by the parents. She's very aggressive. If you look at verses 13 through 18, you'll see it there. All our children need to be warned today and be aware of the very seduction of sin. It's just, you might say, sucking in our youth by the thousands and thousands and thousands today. And not youth only, adults as well. But we're talking about raising children right here today. Be aware, children, of the seduction of sin. But then the same verses in verse 21 through verse 23 talks about, be awake, children, to the destruction of sin. A child with no teaching, no training, no discipline from the home is going to fall victim to sin at some point early in their lives. What a child sees that seems to be apparent to them, that it's a pleasure, ends up in their ultimate destruction and their downfall. These verses say it's like an ox who is led to the slaughter, having no idea what's about to happen to him. It's like a bird that's a trap been set, a snare for a bird. He just watches from the trees as they build the snare and not even realizes it's built for him. Just like those animals and that bird, the child falls and their behavior brings personal humiliation. It brings family humiliation many times. And it brings public humiliation many times, doesn't it? Youngsters don't see the danger or the destruction of sin until it's too late sometimes. The writer says it's like an arrow that's shot into the liver. How bitter indeed that experience is. How bitter sin is. Resorts like a bird caught in a trap or a snare or a net, not even aware of what's taking place. The writer Solomon says, maintain your morality, youngsters. Listen to me carefully. Maintain your morality at every cost to you. Do it. Be aware of the seduction of sin. Then he says, secondly, here in verse 21 through 3, to be awake to the destruction of sin. And then through verses 24 through 27, you see he needs to be advised of the great dedication to our Savior. Here it seems the child's kind of getting the message, doesn't it? He's hearkening to what he's been taught, what he's been told. It comes to summing up all this teaching. Teaching, you see, is lost if the point is not made. The sermon goes void if the point is not made. You've got to get to the very point of the whole matter. We're talking about life lessons from loving parents. It's simple. Stay away from all evil. Evil is the pathway These verses 24 through 7 teach us they are the pathway to death and hell. Now, I know that teaching's not popular today. Our modern day educators forbid us to discipline our children. They've got their own ideas about child raising. Most of them don't even have children to start with. So they don't know anything about raising kids. If you don't believe it, look at what their plans are going. How well is it working for them? How are their plans working out today? Their plan's not working. God's plan does. It always has, and it always will. If you don't believe it, they don't like our way of teaching from God's Word, look at your TV today. See what you see. Almost everything on TV is vile. Not even worth watching. The movie industry is even worse. If you even listen to the radio, you're going to hear it in the music that's being played today. Magazines that are being just proliferated through our nation with pornography. They're all together shouting this thing. Do your own thing. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Don't let anybody force you into doing what they think is the thing to do. Do what you want. Do your own thing. Sex is presented to people today more than ever before. In all my 76 years of living, I've never seen it as such a day. Permissiveness is everywhere, and the very spiritual level of our nation is the lowest I think it's ever been since we've been a nation. It's there. So where does the sin lead? It leads to death. It leads to hell. The Bible plainly tells us the nation that forgets God, God turns into hell. Plain. Young people, how my heart goes out to young people today. They have so many allurements to pull them away from God and pull them away from the spiritual life and pull them away from God's Word. You see, it's we who are parents and we who are Christians, not necessarily have to be a parent, good mentors, Christians people, parents as well. We must be the ones who teach them the loving lessons about life that they're going to face. We cannot, we must not refrain from teaching about immorality today and where it leads in the destruction of it all. You can't turn a blind eye to it and turn your head and it'll go away. It's not going to go away. We've got to fight that kind of violence with the very Word of God. So what's the conclusion to all this? We must warn our children by word and by our walk about the timelessness of truth, about the preciousness of having principles. You know, there's got to be a place in your life somewhere. You've got to draw a personal, individual line in your life. And you've got to say to yourself, I'm coming to this point. I'm not crossing this barrier. This is as far as I'm going. I'm not going any farther. You've got to have principles by which you are absolutely unable and unwilling to violate. We've got to teach them the timelessness of truth, the preciousness of principles, and the maintenance of morality. Listen, beloved, you hear a lot of talking about today, and I hear it too, about young ladies who've fallen into immorality. And at best, they come back and they say, well, you know, you can practice being a virgin again. To be sure, you can get your life straightened out. When you fall into one-time immorality, you'll go back and change that. It's done. But maintain your morality. Suppose it's happened. Suppose you've fallen victim to it. Ask God to cleanse you, forgive you, set you on the right path, and go the right way the rest of your life. I don't have to emphasize any more than we have grave responsibilities, parents. And we have a grave accountability. Do you know, as a parent, you will be held directly responsible to God our Father for the way you raise those precious children that God puts into your home? You will. So I want to give an account to my Lord when I meet Him face to face one day that I have trained up my child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. God help us, parents. God help us as Christians to be the ones who stand in that gap and make up that hedge and teach our children and live right before our children that they may see the value of the same. It begins by giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming under His leadership, you see, God has a mother ministry and a father ministry to you and to me. And He teaches us the timelessness of truth, the very preciousness of principles, and the maintenance of our own morality so that we might in turn teach it to our children. God help us, church. God help us, those who are viewing. God help us, those who may be listening, to teach our children to live right before them as we live right before our God. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a place to start. Let Him introduce you to the fathership and the mothership of God, that we might introduce those to our children alike. Let's pray today. Lord, thank You first of all for giving us Your Word to teach us how to live and how to walk, how to teach. Lord, help us to live the Word of God before our children, before the world. And I pray that as we do that and train up our children, give them the discipline through the Spirit of God that what they should need. We'll raise up good, responsible Christian citizens who will be able to lead our nation, if our nation exists, to be able to lead our nation in the right paths in the days to come. Bless our church. Bless our church family. Bless those who are viewing today, that we may all together resolve in our own hearts that we will indeed obey the Lord and teach our children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Well, thank you for joining us. That was James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or join us tomorrow for services at 10:45, or join us on live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. Now, I got the chance to sit down and speak with the pastor about several topics today, and here's some of our conversation. I was doing a delivery for work, and I was crossing in Kannapolis here, Earnhardt in Concord Lake, and there were a bunch of people on the corner, teenagers, had signs, and a lot of different signs, but there was about 14 kids. They all had different signs. One of the children had a sign that said, "Some jobs can't have bad apples." So I rolled down the window and I said, until we get to heaven, every job, any place you go is going to have a bad apple someplace. The problem is sin. The problem is the problem. Everyone sins. No one's better than everybody's raising their signs and protesting. And we're no better than the other guy. We just have a different sin. We're failing in some other area that's unpleasing to God. So we might look at somebody and say, well, at least I'm not like that. But if we were to really look at ourselves, somebody else would probably say, well, at least I'm not like you.
And you know, if we even go back all the way back to the beginning, to the first family, with Adam and Eve, their offspring, there was some bad seed right there. Cain rose up and killed his brother. The first murder recorded in the Bible was in the very book of the beginnings, the book of Genesis. So it's followed right on down from fallen nature from those days all the way down to our days. And it's going to continue that way until our Lord Jesus comes and straightens all the matters out.
And sin is the problem.
It
sin
is.
And the lack of
it
the
is.
Lack of fear. I mean, I just see it everywhere. And another thing I'm noticing all over the place, there's quite a lot to talk about. I am seeing crowds by the thousands put their hands up and repeat mottos with their hands up, bowing down to, I don't know who's talking. I haven't seen the whole thing, but they're bowing down. It almost looks like they're coming together to worship an idea or something else. And the Bible talks very poorly about getting on your knees and bowing down to anyone or anything but God. So how do you handle something like that?
Well, it comes along with the latter part of this message we're talking about on the maintenance of good morals. Our morals today are at an all-time low also. And if people bow down to anything or anyone other than our precious Lord, then we're worshiping idols. And Jesus Himself said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me or beside me or in addition to me." So good morals today would really solve a lot of the problems with this bowing down to other images or other gods.
Well, I don't know if we can get any good morals. I'm looking here on the news. My Apple News Spotlight says, Pride 2020, the fight for black trans lives, a push to redesign the rainbow flag, and 10 films that celebrate the queer experience. This, the whole world is like this. This is so ridiculous. Anywhere you look, anything you turn on is going to have something wrong with it, it seems like. Where do we turn anymore, except unless we become that weird Christian person that just doesn't watch that stuff? But that's how we're supposed to be. Are we not supposed to be different?
That is the only answer, the only correction to the problem we're facing today is our principles and our morals and the truth of God's Word be taught and grasped and lived out through our lives. Other than that, things will not get better. They'll only get worse and worse and worse.
Only one generation and the whole thing will change. They were trying to rewrite history by taking down stuff, trying to rewrite history. You can't rewrite history.
It only takes one generation to go from where we are to paganism. And beloved, I'm sorry to say that I believe I see that happening in our nation today. I'm sorry to say that.
Do you know you can make fun of anything you want? You can't make fun of anything at all except for Christians, it seems like. Yeah. You can pick at Christians on the TV. You can pick at Christians on the radio. You can pick at Christians. But any other religion or any other idea, nope, they'll just come at you.
Well, we who are Christians know that our Lord Jesus has said before he went back to heaven, that they persecuted him, they'll persecute us. They hated him, they'll hate us. We're living in those days that he prophesied many, many years ago. And we know to expect these things, as he said, will grow worse and worse and worse prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I'm looking for, beloved, I'm looking for the Lord Jesus to return. And I believe that is the only answer to what we've got going on today. If people do not turn back from their wicked ways and turn to God, there's no other alternative.
I forgot to mention, when I told the kid that our problem is sin, the children with the signs, right away they all started yelling and screaming. Right away there were so many of them yelling and screaming at me. I know some of them were cussing. One of them was asking me to pull over my car so he could beat me up. Other people were cussing. I don't think anyone heard what I said, but just because I said something, everyone ganged up on me. It was like you see on the news. I'm glad I was in a car.
Jesus himself said, let him that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, it's not that there's not any truth being taught today. It's not that any good principles are not being portrayed. It's not that some good morals are not being lived out. It's people are not listening. They're not hearing because they don't want to hear. The self-centered life has grasped our nation like never before.
Well, thank you, Pastor James Strickland. This has been an honor. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Suppose you've heard the message even last week and today as well, and the Word of God has really gripped your heart and soul, and you realize that you are indeed a lost person, and you'd like to come to the Lord Jesus. You'd like to know the truth about the truth. You'd like to know how to live the good principles and the good morals that we preach about. Let me explain to you briefly how to do that. It's simply just humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Admit you're a sinner. Ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and save you, and he will. Invite him in. He'll change your life, and you'll be on a different path and a different direction to an all-new destination for your life. I'd love to see you do that. More than this, the Lord would love to see you do it. He's waiting to hear from you. If you'll just humble yourselves and turn to him, I promise you, according to God's Word, he will work that miracle of new birth in your life.
And even that stuff you think you can't get rid of, those sins you can't get law, you can't get, I'll never get over that, those things you battle. When you give your complete life to Christ, the Holy Spirit will come inside you and you will be able to overcome those. It'll be a fight, but with God's help, you can do it.
Our Lord's not so much interested in your past, but the present. Give your life to him, and then toward the gracious future time, and we shall all who know him see him face to face. And all these things we've talked about in these two sessions and all the conversations we've had, these things will all be former things. They will have passed away. And one day we'll not even remember that they existed.
Amen. You've been listening to Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or join us for live stream tomorrow on Facebook at 1045 Sharon Baptist Concord, or join us in person. Directions are online. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. See you next week.